assemble ourselves together this Lord's Day. Many of us have been with each other during this week, this past week, with our vacation Bible school, and it's good for us to be together again on this Lord's Day. I want to encourage you to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple of verses from Hebrews 3, and then we're going to go back and be studying primarily from Genesis chapter 3. So we'll start by reading a couple of verses from Hebrews 3, but we're going to spend the bulk of our time in Genesis chapter 3. It is so good to see everyone. With the busy week that we've had with VBS, our attention and time has been focused on our young people. There have been some of our number this past week that have been seriously ill. Missy was mentioned a moment ago by Randy, and what's going on with her. We know that others as well have been suffering this week. And as I look out this morning, there are some who are not accounted for and not quite sure what's going on with them. So we have those of our number we need to be praying for, need to be checking in on. But I also see a lot of visitors with us this morning. We're so very honored to have you with us. And hope that you'll come back and be with us again the next time that you have an opportunity to do so. I want to talk this morning for a few moments about what the Bible has to say about the high price of sin. The Bible is the message of truth. That's why it's not appreciated by everyone. Some people don't want to hear the truth. They don't like the truth. But the Bible reveals the truth. And one of the things the Bible does for us, it reveals the truth about sin. It reveals the truth about the nature of sin and about the consequences or the high price that has to be paid for sin. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I want to start with this passage because it tells us that sin is, among other things, it's deceptive. And one of the ways that sin will try to deceive us is by making us believe that we can enjoy the pleasures of sin without having to pay a price. But the Bible tells us there's a terrible price to be paid for sin, and you don't have to get very far in the Bible before you see that. In Genesis chapter 3, turn with me now to Genesis chapter 3, and you may find it convenient to place a marker here. We are going to be studying primarily from this chapter. We'll look at some other passages, but we'll be coming back to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." We'll pause right there. See, the devil told Eve that there'd be no price to pay for disobeying God, that surely she would not die. In fact, the devil went on to deceive Eve into believing that God's commandment was actually keeping her from being all that she could be. God knows that the day that you eat that fruit, that you'll be His equal. You'll be like Him, and He's holding you back. And so He sold her on this lie. She believed the lie, and she sinned. The devil promised that eating this forbidden fruit would bring gain, but in reality, it brought loss. And I want us to consider some of the things that Adam and Eve lost when they committed sin. What is the high price to be paid for sin? First, there is the loss of innocence. Before the devil shows up, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, we read of Adam and Eve, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were innocent. They felt no shame whatsoever because they had no knowledge of good and of evil. But notice, immediately after they sinned, verse 7 says, of chapter 3, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. As soon as they ate of this tree that gave them a knowledge of right and wrong, a knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened, their innocence was gone, and as quickly as they could, they made coverings for themselves to cover themselves up. Having been exposed to evil, they lost their innocence. And what we see beginning here in chapter 3, we see it escalating. We see that the loss of innocence getting worse and worse as wickedness gets worse and worse. In chapter 4, in verse 8, we have the first murder that occurs. And as you look at Cain and his terrible attitude towards God and towards his brother, and that attitude is shown in his descendants, as the text follows the descendants of Cain as they go deeper and deeper into sin. But you go just a couple chapters beyond that. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look, once sin came into the world, once sin came into the hearts of men, look how quickly it got this terrible, how quickly it got this bad. There was a loss of innocence. Listen to me, parents. Parents of young children. I didn't realize this until Christy and I were well into raising our children. We talk about the responsibilities of parents. We talk about the responsibilities of fathers and mothers towards their children. I want to tell you, one responsibility that I believe parents have, and a goal, or at least a goal they should have, and a task that is very difficult. It's your responsibility to protect the innocence of your children as long as you can. And that's hard to do. That's very hard to do in the world in which we live. All you have to do is leave the television on for just a few moments, and that innocence can be gone. You can even be watching the right program. Don't you love commercials? You can watch a good program and here comes a commercial. What's that talking about? There goes that innocence. Not to mention the internet. Getting on the internet and downloading the things to watch from YouTube and other places like that. Parents, we need to protect the innocence of our children. One of the great things about this past week and the VBS is seeing our young people in their innocence learning about God and learning about Daniel and David and Micaiah and Jesus Christ and having that innocence and being enlightened with the truth of God's Word. And one of the great challenges that parents have is knowing when to bring that child out of the innocence and knowing the proper way to expose them to the dangers and the sins and the wickedness of the world and do it in such a way that they know that it's to be avoided, that it's to be stayed away from. Well, that's a great challenge. That's a great challenge. But the reason that parents have that challenge is because once innocence is lost, it's gone. It's gone, and once sin enters in, everything comes with it. Once sin enters in, the waters are muddied, and they stay that way. Now we need to be focusing on what is right and what is true. Living in the world in which we live, we can easily find our own hearts filled with sin and wickedness. And this is dangerous because our desire, our goal should be to make heaven our home. Jesus said in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." But it's the presence of sin in our world and the presence of sin in our lives that makes this an obstacle, or that becomes an obstacle to being pure in heart. Now, sin, the high price that we pay for sin, is the loss of innocence. But secondly, going back to Genesis chapter 3, we see that there is a loss of peace. I'm always amazed when I go back to the Garden of Eden and I try to imagine for a moment what it must have been like for Adam and Eve to have face-to-face fellowship with God. What kind of a blessing that must have been for them to be able to stand before God, to be in His presence like they were. But when they sinned, their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and they sought to cover themselves, but they also realized that covering that nakedness was not enough. Because the very next verse, verse 8 says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Now this sound of God approaching must have been a familiar sound. But for the first time, it was not a welcomed sound. It was a sound that made them afraid. Why? Because they knew they had transgressed. They knew that they stood naked and exposed before God. They knew that they were going to be found out. They were afraid. That guilt produced fear. And that fear was the removal, spelled the end of the peace that they had with God. They are now afraid of God. There's no more peace. That peace is gone. And that's the price that is paid for sin. That we no longer have peace with God. In the book of Psalms, the 32nd Psalm, turn with me to this passage. Psalm 32, David is contemplating the sins that he committed in pursuing Bathsheba and committing adultery with her. "Unless someone's heart and conscience has become so calloused that they no longer care, there is the sting that is attached to sin. There is the acknowledgement, the realization that there is no peace with God." And that's a good thing, because it should drive us to repent. It should drive us to make our lives right with God. Notice what David says in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." What did sin do? Sin pressed upon him during the night as he tried to sleep but couldn't. Why? Because he knew he was not at peace with God. This man after God's own heart was not at peace with God, and it troubled him. That's the price to pay for sin, is that it destroys our peace with God. That's the high price to pay for sin. You know, Eve didn't think about that. The devil didn't tell Eve that that would be a price to pay, but it is. We see also in our text that sin brings about a loss of life. When God placed man in the garden, He gave him only one restriction. If we look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17... it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die.'" Man was given the entire garden. He was given one prohibition. This one tree, you cannot eat it, you cannot touch it. The day that you do, you are going to die. The penalty for violating God's law would be death. Now, as we read Genesis chapter 3, we see that Adam and Eve did not drop dead immediately upon eating this fruit, but that doesn't mean the penalty was not applied. As we go further into the chapter, we see the serpent is cursed, and then the woman is cursed. And in verses 17 through 19, we see the curse that was given to the man. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Now, Adam and Eve didn't drop dead that moment, but that day they became susceptible to physical death. And you know what we read of from there on? Everyone dies. Everyone goes the way of the earth. Everyone dies. Death and sin are connected. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." We see that right here in Genesis chapter 3, and it continues even until today. Today we struggle with the reality of our mortality. We mourn over those that we have lost. Every graveyard that we pass is a reminder of the high price of sin. You know, where our house is situated, right here next to the building, it's not uncommon on any given day for me to sit in my office and to hear the chirp of a police car. And I can tell the difference between an outright siren and the chirp of the police car that is stopping traffic as a funeral procession is making its way onto Highway 35. Practically every day we can see that. That's the high price of sin. Physical death is the high price of sin. That's the price that has to be paid. And God said so. God said so from the beginning. But that's the price that has to be paid. But believe it or not, there's a price that's even worse than that. You see, not only is there a loss of innocence and a loss of peace and a loss of life, but there's also the loss of the presence of God. As we conclude Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, God's not finished. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." When man is expelled from the Garden of Eden, he's really expelled from the presence of God. Sin has forced him away from the presence of God. Adam may not have died physically that day, but he did die spiritually. He did die spiritually when he was driven from the presence of God. I want to show you a couple of verses. One is in James chapter 2. James chapter 2 gives us a biblical description of death and what death is. James chapter 2, verse 26, this is physical death. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." You see, the Bible tells us that physical death occurs when man's eternal spirit separates from the physical body. And when that happens, that body is lifeless. That body is dead. And that can happen when a body succumbs to the ravages of old age or advanced chronic disease, or where there is an accident or an act of violence. Anything can cause the physical body to stop working, and that spirit depart. When that spirit departs, that's when physical death occurs. And that's physical death. Isaiah 59 talks about spiritual death. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You see, physical death is when the death is separation. Physical death is when the spirit, man's spirit, is separated from his body, his physical body. But spiritual death is when man's spirit is separated from fellowship with God. And that's far worse. That's far worse. Separated from God in this life is bad enough. But consider the fate of someone who dies in that state. When we die, we can only go to one of two places. We can either go to heaven to be with God, or we're cast into hell out of God's presence. Now, if we die separated from God, we can't go to heaven. And that leaves only one place, and that is hell. That's the high price to pay for sin. Separation from God, not just in this life, but also in that life to come. You see, sin is not harmless. There is a price to be paid, and it's a price that none of us can bear to pay. The wages of sin will always be death. Do you know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that everything that is lost because of sin can be regained through Jesus Christ? Everything that was lost, that was taken away in Genesis chapter 3, can be given again through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we can have innocence. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Through Jesus Christ, we can regain our innocence. Now, I don't mean by that that if we become a Christian, then our memory of all exposure to evil and wickedness is going to be wiped clean. No, that's not what the Scriptures promise. But what it means is that I can stand before God and be pronounced innocent, not guilty. I can regain innocence to that measure, to that degree. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." This is written to Christians. And it's telling the Christians that if you sin, there's a way for you to receive the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you're not a Christian, becoming a Christian cleanses that sin away. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. So, yet through sin, we lose our innocence. We're guilty before God, but through Jesus Christ, we can regain that innocence. We lose our peace through sin, but through Jesus Christ, we regain that peace. In John chapter 14, and verse 26, verse 27, John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Through Jesus Christ, we can regain peace. And it's not the kind of peace that the world offers where we just agree to get along with each other. No, remember what happened to that peace in the garden. Sin entered in, and it brought guilt, and it brought fear. And they feared the presence of God. But through Jesus Christ, we can be brought near to God again. Back up to verse 23 in this chapter. John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." In Genesis chapter 3, what do we read? Adam and Eve are told, leave. They're no longer welcome in God's presence. What does Jesus say? If you keep my word, if you love me and keep my word, my Father and I will come and make our home with you. Through Jesus, we can regain that peace. Through Jesus, we can regain life. In John chapter 10, Jesus sets himself forth as the good shepherd. In contrast to the thief, John chapter 10 and at verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Isn't that exactly what the devil came to do in Genesis chapter 3? Came to steal the good thing that God had created. Came to steal innocent man from God. Came to kill man. Because death became a reality that day. The entire human race made subject to death. The devil murdered the entire human race there in Genesis chapter 3. And to destroy? Why, in Genesis chapter 1, as we read of the creation week, everything that God created, He said it was good. And Satan came to destroy everything that God created and made good. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life. True life here and now. Not just eternal life, but the best life possible here upon this earth. Jesus gives us life. And while sin separates us from God, Jesus is our only pathway back to God. Back to John chapter 14. John 14 verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only pathway back to the Father. He's the only way that we're getting back to the tree of life. It's through Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing that Jesus did when He came into this world and He suffered and died on the cross. Paying that price, the wages of sin is death. Paid that price so that each and every one of us could have back what was lost through sin. Now, all of us have sinned. If you're old enough that you've understood the things that we've been talking about this morning, you've sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us have suffered the loss that accompanies our sin. What I'm wondering this morning, have all of us accepted the blessing that Jesus offers in forgiving us of our sins, in giving us that peace and that life and that fellowship with God? It doesn't come automatically. You and I have to choose to sin. Sin is never forced on us. You and I choose to sin. And you and I have to choose to accept the gift of salvation that God has made available through His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you accepted that gift? I know many here have. No doubt some here have not. This morning I want to encourage you to repent of your sins, to confess your belief that Jesus is the Son of God, because I know that you believe He is, and to be baptized, to have those sins washed away. Not because I say you ought to do it, but because you can open your Bible up and you can see that that's what Jesus tells you to do. And if you're here and you haven't done that, then you stand ready to pay a price for your sin that you cannot afford to pay. And you don't have to. Why not become a Christian? If you've done that in the past, but sin has come back into your life and you need to take care of that publicly, we'd be glad to help you and assist you with that as well. Whatever your need is, bring Christ, your broken life. Come as we stand and sing this song.